The vulnerability assessment is any significant delays in finding or fixing software with critical vulnerabilities. It provides ample opportunity for persistent attackers to break through, gaining control over vulnerable machines and getting access to the sensitive data they contain. This should be always prevented by having a strong vulnerability management framework. Vulnerability management framework can be a scheduled calendar, or it can be an ad hoc exercise carried by the information security governance team. Vulnerability management framework also ensures the application owner is responsible for driving regular vulnerability checks of its own systems. It's the custodian's responsibility also to check the vulnerability assessment of various IT systems which perform daily operations of patch management, change management and other such systems. There are various management systems of the IT used by IT which control critical business data. The vulnerability assessment also flows in not just into applications and IT systems, but also into database management systems and network level changes. Technologies that provide capabilities for effective attack detection and analysis. Some technologies like SIEM, the Security Information and Event Management, provide situational awareness through collection, aggregation, correlation of analysis of disparate data from various sources. The data which is collected by the SIEM are usually in the form of logs. Various logs collection mechanisms exist. SIEM consists of a log collection mechanism and a log correlation mechanism. The logs do occur after certain attack has been occurred by the system. The system might change, the system might generate certain logs. These logs then flow from the log correlation system or the log collection mechanism into the log correlation engine, which correlates certain logs based on the signatures given by the security control systems. The SIEM is always the heart of a security operations center, and its continuous recycling of the logs as well as continuous threat intel feeds which are flowing into the SIEM makes it much more resilient. The Intrusion Detection and Prevention System, also known as the IDS or NIPS or IPS, are a primary source of information leading to identification of attack. These are signature based and always keep on scanning each network packet entering into the organization. Once the attack has identified, an appropriate IPS rule sets it to block it further from incident propagation and supports containment and eradication. Such systems also include the network behavior analysis tools, which is also known as NBA or NBAD, NBAD. These are basically providing data and traffic patterns in the network, within the network. For example, there has been, this is a kind of an organization which is on the Indian banking network, and we have never seen a transaction happening at the mid of the night at around 3 a.m. in the night. If such certain network related changes are happening or certain data transfer is happening at the peak of the night at around say 3:35 a.m., that means there is some malware which has been triggered by a worldwide network. And this might be blocked at the same stage because it does not follow the user behavior. The usual behavior patterns are also has to be fed to the NBAD or the network behavior analysis tool, so that the network behavior analysis tool keeps on having these such kind of network patterns at a regular stage. The shortcoming of NBAD or the network behavior analysis tool is that certain whitelisted traffic patterns also arise with the likes of filing of income tax returns at the end of the year end. It is a spike, and NBAD will detect it as a positive or a false positive kind of a reaction. NBAD is hence always used not in the blocking but in a behavioral analysis and a reporting tool into the SIEM. Managed Service Security Service Provider or MSSP are outsourced parties which provide all such services, which includes from SIEM to Security Operations Center, also incident management and incident remediation. NIPS and IBS should also be put up in the blocking or the not the detection mode, because it detects each and every packet which might be based on a signature and should block every other organization's requests. Security measures against malware. Malicious software is an integral and a dangerous aspect of internet-based threats which target organization. we have seen changes in the IT systems, changes in the applications which are being used by the organization or by the end user. There are various cloud-based technologies which are being used, and hence there are the malwares are also changes depending on the type of the environment. Typical controls to put against malicious code use layered combinations of technology, policies, procedures, and training. Administrators should use logs from firewalls, NIPS, IDS, DNS servers on a daily basis to check worm infections and other such malware infections. Organizations should configure systems so that they contain an automated anti-malware scan. Very good next generation endpoint detection and response technologies are also getting adopted across the organizations, across different sectors within the organization also. Malwares are a key challenge because they keep on harming the day-to-day business and might even hamper a huge amount of data proliferation out of the network. Organizations should configure laptops, workstations, and servers so that they do not auto-run any content from USBs, CDs, DVDs, external SATA devices, etc. The auto-run is in fact considered to be a blocked executive by various antiviruses across the globe. Organizations should deploy network access control tools to verify security configuration and patch level compliances of devices before granting any access to the network. We have seen devices which are as small as pen drives or USB drives, which might be used as a VPN channel communicator or a Wi-Fi communicator within the organization to communicate within the host and act as a rogue access point. Such kind of attacks are widely seen wherein public Wi-Fi networks are available in airports or public places. Network access control controls such unwanted rogue access points to be thrown out of the organization and do not guarantee any access to such rogue access points. Organizations should filter out various attachment types at the mail gateway unless they are required for their specific business use. This would in fact flow from the various data classification standards and various data available within the organization to classify is what has to come inside via mail gateways or web gateways. Host level security measures also include host hardening, implementing host based firewalls, deploying IP level changes in application hashing capabilities, deploying host IPS, IP tables, and integrity checking softwares. Periodic auditing host configurations as well as endpoints. Host here basically means workstations, laptops, or in fact iPads and lap pads. Network level measures, while we are securing security measures against malware, should have limiting the transfer of executable files through the perimeter, IDS and IPS continuous monitoring of ingress and egress traffic going out of the enterprise, routing access control lists that limit incoming and outgoing internal connections to those necessary for business purposes. Network monitoring purposes also includes proxy servers that inspect incoming and outgoing packets for indicators of malicious code, filtering to protect against attacks such as cross-site scripting, SQL injection. There are web application firewalls or the next generation firewalls which do the same activity. Patch management is of the key importance while we are informing or securing critical assets. It addresses the technical system and software vulnerabilities quickly and effectively. Once the vulnerability management has detected certain vulnerable patches, it should directly inform the patch management system, and the patch management system must quickly and effectively automatically patch such patches. There should be documented standards and procedures for patch management. If it is not automated, then the processor should govern that adequate escalation matrices are defined, whereas depending on the criticality of the vulnerability detected or the patch level which is currently missing. Methods should be established to protect information and systems if no patch is available for an identified vulnerabilities. Such kind of attacks which happen on the patchless kind of vulnerabilities detected are also called as zero-day attacks, wherein there has been no patch detected or no vulnerability detected and it has been exploited in the wild. Methods to protect against such information systems also flow back to the processors. wherein there is no technology to protect any assets, there should be stringent processes to govern and deter any security incident or security event. Patch management process should include methods of obtaining patches from an authorized source, which can be some depositories deployed by tech giants like Microsoft, IBM, or Red Hat. Then assessing the business impact of not implementing a particular patch. The business impact analysis includes just not the patch level or the vulnerability level, but also the importance of the particular application in the day-to-day business. Because patching might require the systems to be shut down for a particular amount of time, patch to be updated, and even tested. The patches must always be tested, and the methods of deploying patches must be ensured are adequately approved by both application owner and the application custodian. Reporting on the status of patch deployment, methods of dealing with the failed deployment of a patch are also very much important, wherein we talk about rollbacks and rolling it back to which patch level has to be also governed on the information security side. Change management and patch management, as I said, are key processes of any information technology governance cycle. The change management process should cover all type of changes, critical, non-critical, rotational, and business-driven changes. The process of a change management should be properly documented and with having right accountability and ownership at each level. The process should include approving and testing changes to ensure that they do not compromise any security controls. Change approval board should be placed in every organization and which might consist of different verticals, right from information security to technology to data, network, as well as application owners and in fact business owners. Business usually drives a lot of changes in the new technology and a new era of digital environments. Such changes must ensure that right change management has been followed and adequate governance, security related changes are governed and driven and made sure are adhered before pushing any patch or change. The process should include changes and signing them off to ensure correctness and completeness of the change management. The change management process should include reviewing completed changes to ensure that no unauthorized changes have been made. The changes must also be governed by information security standards and minimum baseline security standards before being pushed to any critical IT component. Audit trails procedures also ensures that the audit trails exist for IT assets satisfying regulatory, legal, and compliance requirements. Ensuring that audit trails exist to serve as forensic evidence whenever required and assisting in dispute resolution. A lot of times we have seen that audit trails have not been configured in the information systems, which we are not able to ascertain as who was responsible to execute certain changes. Was it really an insider attack, or it was an external malware attack that forced certain changes in an IT system? Hence, each and every application owner has to ensure that the audit trails are enabled and the required changes and privilege levels are being governed by the audit trail. Information security reporting and matrix also provides decision makers with an informed view of aspects like effectiveness and efficiency of information security arrangements, improvement areas, futuristic goals, the strategy for the security strategy, etc. Reporting should also provide data on information and systems that are subject to an unaccepted level of risk, performance against qualitative and objective targets, and actions required to minimize the risk. The reporting and matrix of a security must be always given beforehand by the governance board and should also be displayed to the highest level in the senior management. Critical service providers or vendors also usually require access to confidential information, applications, and systems. There are various mechanisms of certain access the system vendors or the system managers would acquire from their own sites or off-sites. Management should evaluate the role of these service providers in relation to the IT environment and the controls and the objectives which are met by such third-party vendors. Third-party vendors which who are accessing your critical systems of an enterprise from their own environments might not have stringent information security govern mechanism within their own enterprise. This might affect critical assets or exposure of your critical assets to proliferate external and internal data from third-party related centers. Ineffective third-party controls can weaken the ability of an organization to achieve its own control objectives, because we depend on a lot of third-party vendors who are driving our own businesses and operations and IT operations. Talking of network security, the protection against growing cyber attacks requires multiple layers of defenses, which is also known as defense in depth. Defense in depth is a strategy of a security which balances protection, capability, the cost, performance, and the operational considerations. Defense in depth should also consider protecting the enclave boundaries or the perimeter security and protecting the computing environment. A defense in depth strategy involves end-to-end viewability and visibility of a chief information security officer into entire IT landscape and IT ecosystem. Firewalls. The firewalls are the main purpose of the firewall is to have an access control. By limiting the inbound and outbound traffics, firewalls have been existing since very beginning of the network security era. Firewalls may provide additional services like network address translations or NATing of the public IPs to the internal private IPs and act as VPN gateway, also known as a virtual private network gateway. There are four primary firewalls to type of choose, from packet filtering to stateful inspection, proxy servers, and application level firewalls. We'll talk about each of these firewalls going ahead. Packet filter firewalls are typical L2 firewalls or a layer 2 firewalls which exist on the layer 2 and detect each and every packet depending on the headers of the incoming and outgoing network packets. Every network packet which comes inside your IT environment has a network header or IP header which consists of the addresses from where the network packet has originated, from where which all network hops it has taken, which all gateways it has interacted, and is now entering your environment. These headers are evaluated by packet filtering firewalls or L2 firewalls, which have rule base behind their defined by the firewall engine and is also keep on changing and keep on monitoring by the information security team. Information security team is responsible for rule-based creation and continuous monitoring of such firewall rules. Packet firewall filters also ensure that a packet has valid internal address, originates from a permitted external address, connects to an authorized protocol, and contains valid basic instructions. This is preliminary check, or we can say a scanning check, which is being done on a very high level. Packet filters generally do not analyze the packet's content beyond the header information. Major weakness of this type of firewall is its inability to prevent attacks that exploit application-specific vulnerabilities and functions. It was considered to be very good at the beginning of the IT era, wherein we could analyze or kind of detect security-related threats coming from different IP locations. But over the time and over the ages, as IT has evolved and IT age has increased from various applications to servers to the client server architecture to client serverless architectures, similarly the hackers have gone great advantage and great deals of tools. These kind of packet filter firewalls cannot detect what is inside the packet, and usually it is the header is always clean and the payloads or the exploits are always attached after the header. Talking of the next firewall, that is stateful inspection firewalls, are the next generation firewalls which are full in the statefulness of the inspection. The stateful inspection firewalls are packet filters that monitor the state of the TCP connection, which also ensure that the various handshakes which the TCP is ensuring is also maintained by the firewall. When a connection is established, the firewall adds connection information to a table and compares the future packets to the state table. This essentially verifies that inbound traffic is in response to the request initiated from inside the firewall. Talking of proxy server firewall, the proxy server firewall acts as intermediary between internal and external IP addresses and blocks direct access to the internal network. We see a lot of proxy server firewalls when we are trying to access intranet or worldwide net via our inside enterprise network. Due to the limited capability, proxy servers are commonly deployed behind other firewall devices. Common proxy servers are the domain name servers, the DNS, web servers, as I said, the HTTPS, HTTP domain, the mail servers, or SMTP. The proxy servers frequently catch requests and responses, providing potential performance benefits. These are typically one-way firewalls which allow traffic either ingress or egress depending on the type of proxy. Application level firewalls are layer 7 firewalls or firewalls which are acting on the application layer. Application level firewalls perform application level screening. These firewalls validate packet content based on the application in addition to their filtering capability. We have seen the Open Web Access Group, or as OAPS top 10 kind of vulnerabilities getting remediated or getting as a signature based to such application level firewalls. These firewalls provide additional screening of the packet payload for commands, protocols, packet length, authorization, content, or invalid headers. For such firewalls, the entire packet has to be decrypted at and fed as a source for such firewalls. Application level firewalls provide the strongest level of security. The firewall related practices is also a set of processes which has to be governed by the information security. Firewall in itself, if you have deployed firewall, does not ensure that you are having complete security and you can relax at that end. But to govern the firewalls, to keep on monitoring, to keep on pushing and keep on having a continuous process involving a firewall ensures that we are having the right amount of skill set. Using a set rule that disallows inbound and outbound traffic that is not specifically allowed should be done for the firewalls. Network address translation or NAT and split DNS to hide internal systems, domain names and addresses from external hackers is also used by the firewalls. Firewall related practices also use proxy connections for outbound HTTP connections and filtering malicious codes. The process of firewall hardening by removing all unnecessary services and appropriately patching and enhancing all software on firewall is very well required. We have to ensure that firewall is adequately paced in a network architecture wherein we are trying to protect key systems by certain unwanted access. We cannot keep a firewall wherein we are allowing all type of networks to access all type of systems stored behind the firewalls. Restricting network mapping capabilities through the firewall is a key aspect of any firewall management procedures. Logging activity with daily administrative review, limiting administrative access to very few selected individuals, and governing the access granted to such selected administrators is very much required. Administrating the firewall using encrypted communications and strong authentications is required when we are talking of firewalls, because firewalls are our gateways to the enterprise zones. Making changes only through well-administered change control procedures are a step in securing the firewalls. Second layer of into the network security consists of intrusion detection systems, also known as the IDS. The goal of IDS is to identify network traffic in real time. It is also a signature-based system wherein it matches the signatures of the incoming inside network with the malwares and other abnormal network communications. The ideal placement of an IDS is just behind the firewall. A firewall maintains a list of access control lists and allows only the really wanted traffic by an organization. Once we understand that this traffic is legitimate, coming from a legitimate source, the network packet can further go a signature-based scanning and malware scanning by IDS. An IPS, also known as Network Intrusion Prevention Systems, are an access control mechanism that allow or disallow access based on analysis of packet headers and packet payloads. IPS units detect security events very similar to IDS. However, these have capability to take actions beyond simple alerting, such as blocking traffic flows from an offending host. IPS or NIPS also does packet scrubbing and other technologies which ensures each and every payload which is going via NIPS his been detected and matches the signatures which is have. Quarantining is a device that protects the network from potential malicious code or actions. The typically a device connecting to a security domain is queried for conformance to domain security policy. If the device does not conform, it is placed in a restricted part of the network until it does not conform. Rogue access points, I just said, as small as USB drives or pen drives, are very much available, which act as Wi-Fi humming or Wi-Fi homing devices, which try to consider themselves as a part of the information security or the IT ecosystem. Such devices are rogue systems and should not be allowed and are controlled by quarantining device control mechanisms. Remote access. The connections which are typically establishing through modems, the internet or private communication lines are known as remote access. Remote access or legitimate access might be required by service providers to make program fix or supporting the systems which have been kept by their enterprises in our IT ecosystem. The remote access provides the very much required service providers help to fix certain things. But at the same time, if remote access provisioning is gained by an attacker or a hacker, the opportunity to manipulate and subvert organization systems from outside the physical security perimeter is being granted. Management should establish stringent policies to restrict remote access and be aware of all remote access devices which are governing the system changes. Remote access controls should also include disallowing remote access by a policy unless a compelling business needs exists and it is supported by management approval. Regularly reviewing approvals and rescinding those that no longer have compelling business justification has to be ensured. Certain security exception procedures or security exception forms must be ensured by the information security governance team so that the IS team keeps a track of such granted remote accesses. Appropriately configuring and securing remote access device is a key step to secure such remote access related vulnerabilities. Patching and updating and maintaining all software on remote access devices in a timely manner should also be ensured. Using encryption between access device and the institution should also be enforced. Periodically auditing the access device configurations and patch levels, using VLANs, network segmentation, directories to restrict remote access, or in fact deploying jump hosts to access only a particular host via remote access should be also be deployed. Logging and monitoring of such remote access by administrative or support staff with all date, timestamp, user location, duration should also be done so as to ensure litigative manners or legal considerations. Implementing controls consistent with sensitivity of the remote usage should also be deployed. Implementation of ISO 27001 IS Management System. ISO 27001 incorporates the typical Plan, Do, Check, Act, also known as PDCA cycle. The plan phase is about designing the ISMS framework, assessing the information security risks, and selecting suitable controls. Planning is foremost the designing or the architectural philosophy behind deploying any ISMS framework or ISMS system. The do phase involves implementing and operating the controls. Once the planning has been done in the first stage and we have formulated a governed structure of architectures, the do is the implementing of certain controls and operating controls and procedures and processes to ensure the ISMS is done. The check phase reviews and evaluates the performance of the ISMS. The check might include risk assessments, internal or external, and gap assessments based on the ISMS framework. The current IT ecosystem has to be checked for gaps with respect to the ISMS which has been formulated and implemented by the IS Information Security Governance. In the act phase, the changes are made where necessary to bring the ISMS back to the peak performance. The act phase also ensures that all the gaps identified in the check phase are remediated, and ISMS is again, information security management procedures are again in lines to the latest ISO 27001 standard. Talking of wireless security, wireless network security is a challenge since it does not have a well-defined perimeter or access points. It includes all wireless data communication devices like PCs, mobiles, PDAs, laptops, iPads, pads, connected to organizations' internal network. Unlike wired network, unauthorized monitoring and denial of service attack can be performed without a physical wire connection. This increases the security risks or the threat landscape when we are talking about wireless networks. Wireless networks can be hacked or can be tried to attack via certain devices which will go inside anyone's pocket and might not get even detected onto the regular scanners. Penetration testing is a formalized set of procedures designated to bypass the security controls of a system for testing its resistance to such attack. Penetration testing, also known as PT, is also done in a black box manner, wherein various vulnerabilities or weaknesses are being assessed or to check such weaknesses in case of an actual attack scenario. It's like a simulated hacking scenario, but in a controlled manner to determine any weakness that might exist. Whenever a system is in designing, we have gone through very secure software development lifecycle management process or a secure SDLC process, but it might have some slippages or the potential attacker might use certain tools which might give away certain bugs in the existing system. Penetration testing is hence foremost to be done before deploying any application in the production environment. Also, penetration testing needs to be conducted at least once on an annual basis. It has been mandated by several regulatory guidelines as well as compliances. Audits. Auditing compares current practices against a set of policies, standards, or guidelines formulated by the institution, including any legal requirements. Audits or system audits not only check our information security assurance program with respect to our ISMS framework, but also to the certain guidelines released by the regulators or certain international standards released by international standard governing bodies like ISO, NIST, or COBIT, or etc. Assessment is a study to locate security vulnerabilities and identify corrective actions. An assessment differs from an audit by not having a set of standards to test against. Also, assessment is prominently done within the risk department and it's a continuous in nature, whereas audits are periodic in nature. Assessment and audits might give away a lot of findings and a lot of gaps, but audits are generally formulated as reports and circulated to senior management or regulators or the compliance heads, whereas assessments is generally done by an application owner to perform its own vulnerabilities on a regular manner, so that when an audit is done, they are at a very good state. The delivery channels. Organizations should sensitize the customers on the need to protect their PINs, security tokens, OTPs, personal details, PAN card information, Aadhaar card information, and other confidential data. Organizations are responsible for the safety and soundness of the services and the systems they provide to their customers. Owing to constant changes in the internet environment and online delivery channels, online finance channels, online management, should consider a risk monitoring and a compliance regime on a continuous and a rigorous basis. Parameters for choosing proper measurement systems: measurable with ease, easy to understand by the stakeholders, unit of measurement should be decided in advance. If the metric is to be used with other parameters, then its weightage should be fixed. The optimal value and satisfactory value should also be decided while choosing the proper measurement systems for selecting effectiveness of security controls. Thank you.